So my son whispers in my ear while Cynthia's up here sharing the announcements. He says, I think Mom is secretly taking over.
No, thank you.
Is this going to feed back if I'm up here? Okay, good. Because I was standing right here. I heard a little rumble. How's everybody this morning? Everybody's good? How many of y'all are excited about this week? Y'all know what this week is, huh? It's Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving. I love it. Well, good morning. My name is Wade Morian, lead pastor here at Emerge. Decided to come down here this morning. Is that okay if we stand on the floor? I might come reach out and touch somebody today. And so, anyway, I just wanted to come on the floor. Let's read some scripture, and then we're going to jump in. I'm going to go to the book of Luke, chapter 17, verse 11 through 19. We're going to read a little scripture. We're going to pray. I got a couple videos to show you, and then we're going to talk. Okay, Luke 17, verse 11. It says, while Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, he was going through the area between Samaria and Galilee, and as he came into a small town, 10 men who had a skin disease met him there, and they did not come close to Jesus, but they called to him, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw the men, he said, go and show yourselves to the priests. And Go and show yourself to the priests. And as the 10 men were going, they were healed. And when one of them saw that he was healed, he went back to Jesus. Listen to that. When one of them saw that he was healed, he went back to Jesus, praising God in a loud voice. And then he bowed down at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. And this man was a Samaritan. And Jesus said, weren't 10 men healed? Where are the other 9? Is this Samaritan the only one who came back to thank God? Then Jesus said to him, stand up and go on your way. You were healed because you believed. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your word that you want to speak to our hearts. Thank you, Lord, that this day, Lord, there's something that you want to do in someone in this room. There's something that you want to speak, something you want to heal, something you want to change. So right now, Lord, we just open our hearts to you and ask you to do your thing. Do your work, Father, in our hearts. Lord, I just pray now that every person will be edified and encouraged by this message. Lord, help me to communicate it in a clear way, the way you want it said. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Check out a couple of these videos I wanted to show y'all today. Check this out.
See what's going on in the kitchen. Happy Thanksgiving, Uncle Chris.
Bye, honey.
Say Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Chris, I think it's
ready. Smells good,
Auntie Bee.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, sweetie. Smells so good. Looks so good. Chris!
The only holiday on which you deep fry the mascot. The new deep fried turkey sandwiches. Arby's, we have the meat.
Test, 1, 2. There, I'm not trying to advertise Arby's. I just love that commercial so much. Because I love fried. Hey, this thing sounds weird. Can y'all hear me? Do I need to use the other mic?
No.
Okay. So that commercial right there, I've been listening to it, watching it the last few days, and I just felt led by the Spirit to show. I don't know what spirit it was, but I felt led by the Spirit to show that here in church today. In no way am I advertising Arby's, and I thought about going to try one just to see if it's good, but I didn't. But I love fried turkey. I do. I love fried turkey. And I actually have a story I want to start out with today to tell you about, just to set this whole thing up. When you're in Louisiana, you can go to a gas station and find some incredible food. Yeah. I know here the best thing you're going to get at a gas station is basically boiled peanuts. But if you go to Louisiana, I'm telling you, you're going to eat well at the gas station. Yeah. Okay? Fried chicken is amazing at the gas station. I mean, you can go to Lutcher, Louisiana. Okay, and on Main Street, there's a Valero gas station with the best fried chicken that I have ever eaten ever in my life. It's at a gas station. And the red beans and rice that go with it is very good. If you're ever in Grosse Tate, Louisiana, if you're heading towards Lafayette, which is Cajun country, there's a truck stop there that serves the best boudin that you will ever eat. Some of y'all don't even know what boudin is. Raise your hand if you don't know what boudin is. It's probably best you don't know. It's like a sausage with a bunch of stuff in it. Basically, whatever's left on the pig, they throw in there, okay, with a little bit of rice. There's a corner gas station not too far from my parents' house, and it's called the American Seafood Market. And they have some of the best boiled crawfish you will ever eat. But they also have the best fried turkey that you will ever eat. And so one year, Cynthia and I, we were going to my parents for Thanksgiving, and I said, I'm taking care of the turkey this year. And so we called and we ordered a fried turkey from the American Seafood Market, picked it up and brought it, and it was a hit, and it was amazing. The problem is this, though, that I have people in my family that can cook, and they believe they can cook really, really well. And so in order to become the person that brings the main dish, you got to have skills. And so because they have skills, they always want to take over. And so we took a trip to Tennessee, and we were going to do this family Tennessee Thanksgiving. Well, my brother called dibs on cooking the turkey, and so he wanted to bake it. It was amazing, but Thanksgiving was incomplete because there was no fried turkey. And then we go again, and he gets to do it again because my mom liked the turkey. And so what mama wants, mama gets. And so we had another butterball in the oven, and it was good. As long as you got cornbread dressing on the side with a little bit of bacon in it. Come on, touch somebody and say, the Holy Ghost is here today. Don't forget to bring that this week, okay? So last year we went to Gainesville, Georgia. You thought I was going to say Florida. No way. Gainesville, Georgia. And we were going to visit some family up there, and my brother-in-law asked me if I would be willing to go with him Thanksgiving morning to his church. They were frying turkeys. Oh, my goodness, y'all. And it wasn't even a question. It was like, yes, what time? He's like, we're leaving here at 6:30. There was no problem waking up because I just knew that if I was there, I was getting fried turkey. That's what I knew till I got there. Every one of these turkeys have already been pre-purchased. There was no extra. You see, like when I do stuff like that, I buy extra just to make sure. Because what if you mess one up? Or what if the people who cook it want something to eat, you know? I mean, you just got to plan like that. And so they didn't plan like that. And so I'm sitting there. We fried 39 turkeys. Are you kidding me? That's like 39 years of my life worth of Thanksgiving. And it ain't coming to my house. Like, we get none. And I'm struggling because I just want a little piece, you know, and I'm the guy who's pulling them out, you know, and bringing them to the table. And you know how you want to pull a little bit off, but you can't because they're watching, you know. Somebody else's church, listen, if it's our church, we put a little something off, I'm telling So we're at the point we're cleaning up, and what had happened was they sold these turkeys for a fundraiser. And so we're getting everything cleaned up, and people were coming to pick up their turkeys. And so we're waiting on the last person, and we're waiting, and we're waiting, and we're waiting, and then we get the call. They ain't coming. What are we going to do with this turkey? I got an idea. And so, you know, you got to play it cool in those situations because you can't make it look like you want to bring it home. You know what I'm saying? Because then it looks like, you know, there's an agenda there. And so you got to be smooth about it. And I've learned some things about some of you folks. Some of you are smooth. Some of you just are not, okay? And so you need to make friends with smooth people. So I just played it smooth. And I said, man, that's a shame. We really need to find somebody that we can give this turkey to. I did. And I said, look, it's past time. Everybody needs to go eat. Why don't y'all just take it? And I just need you to know, I didn't choose the fried turkey. The fried turkey chose me. And that day we ate the fried turkey, and it was so good. So guess where I'm going to be at Thursday morning? I'm going fried turkeys again. And we're going to have fried turkey. This time we planned ahead, and we're getting some. Fried turkey chose me. Today I want to preach a message called Thanksgiving is a Choice. Thanksgiving is a choice. You know, by nature, all of us by nature pretty much, we want more. Am I right? We want more out of life. We want as much as we can get. We want better. We want better stuff. We want to have a better family. We want a better house. We want a better job. I mean, we want better. And there's nothing wrong with wanting better. But there is a problem when it comes to we want it now. Like, right now. Some of y'all, you want lunch right now. Hurry up, preacher. We got to go. We want it. We want it better. We want it now. And the results of that can lead to us becoming somewhat ungrateful for what we have. And even to the point that we begin to complain about it and forgetting that the stuff and the things that we have are really good. Sometimes we just get to that point that our eyes are so set on something else that we may want or something else we think we may need that we could overlook the things and the people in our own lives and maybe take them for granted, and we begin to slide into this phase of complaining. And complaining has almost become like an art form. And if we're not careful, this complaining, it literally becomes the tone of our life. It becomes the conversation of our lives where everything just always seems to be wrong. We can't go anywhere without finding a problem with something. It's like we become experts in finding what's wrong so much that we can't even find what's right anymore, and we lose ourselves and we can't even figure out even if we're right. Am I married to the right person? I mean, am I in the right job? Am I in the right path with school? I don't know, because we've done such a good job of finding everything wrong that we no longer know what right looks like anymore. And I just want to know, who's tired of the negativity? Come on, anybody in here just tired of the negativity? It just happens. And you know, it's not like you wake up one day and say, you know what, today I'm gonna be negative. I got enough of all these people. I got enough of trying to be the positive guy. I'm going negative today. And just like, what are you doing here? You know, and it's like, what's wrong with you, man? We don't make that choice. It happens to us because we take for granted some things that are in our life. And so we're around negativity a lot. We hear it. We become it. And we start complaining about things like the weather. One day it's too hot. The next day it's too cold. It's too dry. Then it's too rainy. You move to South California. And then you say, oh my God, the weather's too perfect. Like, think of it. It's like there's always a problem. Go to the restaurant. They serve you food. Look, listen to this. They serve you food. They don't even know you. They might not even like you. And they still serve you food and like try to make sure that everything is good. They wait on you. They even clean your dishes. But we got something to say about it. Come on, anybody ever worked in a restaurant before and like, preach that thing, preacher? What about our car? Takes us everywhere we want to go. And one time that car breaks down, and that's it. This thing is a piece of junk. You thought I was going to say something else, but I don't say that stuff. I don't say that stuff. Go into the kitchen. You ever did this before? You just went grocery shopping. You go into the fridge, you open it up, and you're looking at me like, got nothing to eat in this house. You go in the pantry, you're looking everywhere, and there's like chips. There's everything on the sun. We have nothing to eat in this place. When we're going shopping, you're like, oh, we just went. How about this one? You go in your closet, just load it with clothes. Some of you, that was today. That was a while ago. I have nothing to wear. And your husband is just, I mean, I, it's obvious we know who we're talking about here, so let's not. And your husband's like, what is all of that in the closet then? You took over 2/3 of mine. Like, I got 3 shirts and a pair of pants. And you got nothing to wear. Like, what in the world is wrong with us? Like, have you ever stepped back to think, like, what in the world is wrong with me? Like, if we ain't gonna wear it, let's have a garage sale, you know? I mean, seems like we have become like some expert critics of every area of life. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're good. We're good at, like, troubleshooting stuff. And I think what it is we're just not satisfied. We haven't reached a place of contentment, and our expectations are high, and we become cynical. We didn't know that this was happening, but it happens to us. And so we become cynical, and we didn't realize that we became cynical, and we became critics, possibly because we lack some gratitude, possibly because we lost the art of thank you. And this morning, what I want to help us to make a different choice. I want to help us to make the choice to be grateful, to see Thanksgiving as a choice and not just a holiday, not just the prelude and the fueling of the body for the Black Friday shopping. Some of you, you already made plans to go. Y'all be safe out there, okay? It's crazy. So in the story we read this morning in Luke 17, story of these 10 men that have this skin disease, and it's the story of the 10 lepers, and they have leprosy, and I don't know if you know much about leprosy, but it's a skin disease, and there's a lot of infections, and they have these bumps and sores all over their body, and it's pretty painful, and it's literally like their skin is rotting, and I mean, literally, parts of their body can fall off. I mean, I don't mean to be graphic, but this is how severe this is, and it just eats away at the flesh, and there's these oozing sores, and so it's a pretty gross thing. And according to the Jewish law, back in the Old Testament, okay, these folks that have leprosy are considered unclean. And the way they set it up was if you had some kind of thing showing up on your skin, then you would have to go to the high priest and he would have to inspect you. And if he inspects you and sees that you have this disease, they remove you from the camp and you have to be quarantined until all of this stuff clears up. Like, you have to even be away from your family, away from everything. So this is kind of the situation these 10 guys are in, because they're declared unclean by this Jewish priest. He looks at him and he says, nah, you got to get away from everybody. Don't come too close. Put the mask on, you know, because they don't want this. And so they put them in this quarantine, and they could be there for years and years and even eventually die and not come in contact with anyone in any public space whatsoever. I mean, you talk about a lonely life, am I right? And so these guys, they have this skin disease. And so obviously they're going to look strange, they're going to smell strange, they're going to have all of these appearance things, because this is a disease that's on the outside. And what I find interesting in Luke 17, verse 14, they'll throw it up on the screen, it says, when Jesus saw the man, he said, go and show yourselves to the priests. Like, this is what he tells them. Whenever they're crying out for mercy, oh, Jesus, have mercy on us. They see him from a distance, and they're like, Jesus, have mercy on us. And Jesus says, hey, you got to go show yourself to the priests. And so the men, they head that way because obviously they've heard some things about Jesus. And as they were going, they're healed. And so then this is where the story, this one guy, he comes back to Jesus. He's thanking him and everything. And the other 10, they just carry on and go their own way. I need you to consider something here. It is possible that these men have not been hugged or touched for years and years and years. I need you to really set the stage so you understand what's going on here. It's possible that it could have been a long time since they've been in contact with any person. And they beg for mercy. Jesus sends them to the priest. And hopefully, they're hoping that when they go to the priest and he inspects them, that he declares them clean. Like, if you see a bump on your wrist right here, and then as you're walking to go see the priest, it goes away, I don't know why I need to go see the priest now, because I used to have a bump here and it's gone now. You know what I'm saying? And so obviously this one guy, as he's heading, he's checking it out. Maybe he believed it was possible. So he's checking it out. And I need to make a point right here, because these guys, even though Jesus is telling them what to do, they have to obey for this miracle to take place in their life. So sometimes we want Jesus just to say something and do something. And I'll say this, Jesus can take care of his part in the miracle, but we also have a part in the miracles that God wants to do in our life. And our part is obedience. And so those guys had to be willing to go and show themselves to the priest. I would assume if I was in that place, after all those years, I would probably be thinking, what's the point? I mean, I've been like this for a long time. My family doesn't even know me anymore. They don't even miss me. You know, like, what's the point? I mean, why even go? And so they had to get through some barriers of some unbelief in their life. And so they go to the priest, and as they go, they're being healed. And what I find interesting in this story, out of all 10, only one came back to say thanks. Only one came back to say thanks. Now, if we wanted to today, we can go a little deep, because you see, Jesus, when he shows up on the scene, he's not just a prophet, he's not just a teacher, but he is the great high priest. He is the priest of priests. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So even though he's telling them to go to the priest, what he's trying to tell them is, listen, there are these laws that we must follow. But what this one guy realizes is this Jesus came and he fulfilled all the laws that God had given. And because of that, he goes back to the real high priest, Jesus. And Jesus says, you're healed, go on your way. Can you imagine what that life was like for that man after that? Going back to his family, going back into public. Now he can get a job. Now he can enjoy all the things of life where once he was hidden and he had to be just quarantined away from everyone. Now he's getting in on life and he's getting to enjoy it. And I find it interesting because out of 10 of them, only one of them chose to be thankful. Out of 10 of them. So that's like a 1 in 10 odds. And I wonder if there's a 1 in 10 odds that maybe you would be the one that would turn around and go back to say thank you, or would you just keep going your own way? See, that's why I say I think Thanksgiving is a choice. And what I want to do is I want to share a couple of things, a couple of sentences that I believe is going to bring some perspective. So here's three statements today that I think is going to help us to choose gratitude, help us to choose being thankful. And I think this is really appropriate for Thanksgiving. Amen? Come on, isn't this good timing? I mean, after all, it is Thursday, just in case you didn't know. It's Thursday. But I hope this sets the tone for you, not just for one day, but for every day. So the first thing is this. I know every good thing I have comes from God. I know every good thing I have comes from God. James 1:17 says it like this. Every good and perfect gift is from God. Above. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. So anything good I have comes from God. So this is where somebody says, well, I had to work to get everything that I have. And I would not disagree with you. You had to work. But who gave you those abilities? Who gave you that life? Who gave you that day? It was the Lord that gave it to you, and you just did something with what he gave you. And as a result, it produced the things that you've got. Are you getting this? So basically, it's not you that's achieving it. It's God giving it to you, and you're just being a good steward of what he gave you. Okay? So any good thing that we have in our life comes from above because God is a giver of good things. One of the things I have made sure to challenge myself with as a pastor is to help people have the proper perspective of God, especially in the South, because most of the time, our view of God is that he is mad, he's ready to strike us down because we are bad people. And I need us to know that God is good, amen?
Amen.
Come on, church, I'm working, but y'all got to help me. God is a good God, amen? And so watch this, through history, this is some good things that God does. He gave Noah a plan for the ark and the ability to build it to save his family from a flood that was coming. That's a good God, am I right? Now, I know the people who are being destroyed, it doesn't look like God is good, but Noah, because he trusted and obeyed God, God is good to him because even though God wants to bring judgment on the earth, he is still showing mercy.
Yes.
So God was good to Noah. God gave the Israelites bread from heaven in the morning and fire by night to lead them to the promised land. God had sent a man named Moses to go and lead the people of Israel out of slavery in Egypt, and he was taking them to the promised land. On the way, they're in the wilderness, and every morning they're waking up, God is providing food for them. They didn't do anything, didn't have to work for it. They just needed to keep going the direction that God said. God would have this pillar of fire set up by night to lead them, and he'd have a cloud set up during the day to lead them. I mean, God was good to them. This is God doing all of this. They had no say-so or input on it. God was just being good to them. What if God's being good to you and you just don't even see it? What if? God gave this guy, David, a stone to kill a giant. Go read the story. It wasn't just David's marksmanship that helped him defeat this giant. It was God's hand on his life. God helped him to do it. Jonah, you ever heard the story of Jonah? God told him to go preach to the city called Nineveh and tell him to repent. And Jonah had a little racism problem. He didn't want to go and speak to the people of Nineveh. So he said, I'm going to go the other way. And so in trying to run the other way on this ship, guess what? There's a storm that comes out on the sea. And Jonah knows this storm is all because of me. And so they're throwing all the cargo on the side. And Jonah says, look, don't throw the cargo. It ain't the cargo's fault. It's my fault. And so then they're like, well, get off of our boat. And so they throw him over. And it looks like Jonah's going to die. I guess Jonah thought he was getting away from it once and for all. And the Lord sent a big fish to come and swallow up Jonah. Boy, it's getting epic. Like they can make a movie out of this or something, huh? And it seems like it's all over. I mean, oh, Lord, the fish ate Jonah. That was a bad dude. And then the fish swims all the way and spits him out on the shores of Nineveh. God wanted to get him somewhere. God was good to him. Come on, he could have died in that water. He could have died inside the fish. God, it's good to him. God gave the Virgin Mary the faith to obey and give birth to Jesus. Crazy story right there, man. Gave the wise men a star to lead them to Jesus. He gave the world the Prince of Peace, the Lamb of God, the Savior through Jesus. God gives us this peace that passes understanding through the Holy Spirit, which convicts us, strengthens us, encourages us. Come on, are you seeing how good God is? God gives his word to guide us. He gives us health. He blesses us. He gives us friends. He gives us this life to enjoy. God's good. So let's say it like this. God is completely good, and God will never not be good. Can we say it that way? God is completely good, and God will never not be good. In other words, God won't do evil. God is constantly good, and God can never be less than good. Boy, this is good. So like when we're singing this song about the undefeated one, kind of makes you feel a little bit like, I'm the man here. Sing that thing, undefeated one. It feels good to be on the undefeated team. Am I right? But what if you're the one that's feeling defeated all the time? It is possible to be on the undefeated team and still feel defeated. God is unchangeably good. Because everything that God does is good. You say, well, Pastor, if you only knew what God was doing to me right now. And I just want to fast forward to Romans 8 because God calls us all things to work together for the
good.
The good. Because he is good. So I can choose to be thankful. I can choose to be grateful. Why? Because I know every good thing I have comes from God. Here's the second thing. I will not let what I want rob me of what I have. Come on, this is good. I will not let what I want rob me of what I have. How many of y'all got some good stuff? Come on, raise your hand if you got, I mean, even if it's one good thing, just one. Some of y'all are like, all I got is a good pair of jeans. That's it. Well, wear them things, baby. I will not let what I want rob me of what I have. I'm not going to let my lusts. Come on now. Can I knock on that door? Cause me to overlook the things that I love. I'm not going to let these desires for more make me overlook the things that I've got. See, this is a perspective. It's like a meter that you've got to have in your life to keep your perspective because we will always want more. Come on, how many of you want more? Nothing wrong with it. But in your pursuit of more, don't overlook what you got because what you got you to where you are today. Ecclesiastes 6, verse 9, it says, better what the eyes see than the roving of the appetite. Better what the eye sees than the roving of the appetite. That verse right there just makes me hungry. I'm just going to be honest with you. So watch this. Gratitude and thankfulness turns what we have into enough. Let me say that again. Gratitude and thankfulness turns what we have into enough. You ever made this statement to your kids? I wish you would just be thankful for what you have. That's what we're trying to teach them. The same exact point, but sometimes we don't get it because we want more. We have this dream, we have this idea, and if it doesn't fit perfectly, then we think we don't have anything at all. Gratitude turns what we have into enough. So watch this. It's not happy people who are grateful. I really want to hit this today. It's not happy people who are grateful. It's grateful people who are happy. Let me say that again because there's a lady back there trying to write it down. I said it too fast. She didn't get it because she's trying to figure out her shopping list. It's not happy people who are grateful. It's grateful people who are happy. Grab that. Are you grateful? Are you thankful for what you had. You say, if you only knew what was at my house. You better be thankful for it. Because when you don't have it, it's changed. It's different. Think about the things we could be thankful for. We're all eating every day, at least 3 meals a day. Amen. Even if you're going paleo, organic, you're still eating. Some of y'all eating like 8 meals a day. Got some almonds at 10 a.m. Almond-covered grouper or something like that, you know. Could be thankful for our jobs. Even if it's a bad job, at least I got a job. Got a bed. I know you hate your mattress. I know. But at least you got a place to lay your head at night. You're not sleeping on the floor. You got clothes to wear. I know you can't find anything, but that is a large closet with a lot of articles of clothing. You got your health. Got friends. I mean, I'm just trying to give a little perspective today. We got some cars to drive. Might not be your dream car, but it's getting you there and it's getting you home. You say, but Pastor, I'm driving a moped. Hey, man, be careful out there. Wear a helmet. You can worship freely. Think of it. We can worship freely. There are people in parts of the world today, they're underground. They're hiding while they're lifting their hands in worship. They really have something to be afraid of. I mean, we got a lot to be thankful for. I've been on these missions trips, and I've seen some people in some really less fortunate nations, and they don't have everything that we have. And we think that if we gave them everything that they would be happy, but this is what I see when I'm there. I see happy people. I see these kids that don't have anything, but they are happy as could be, just enjoying a stick. I'm serious. And they are happy as could be. And we go in there think we're going to make it all better by bringing a bunch of stuff. And sometimes we make it worse. Because they have learned how to be happy with what they have. See, thankfulness and happiness are connected. Perhaps your happiness that you don't have is because there's some thankfulness that needs to be cranked up in your life. Come on, this is why we got to talk about this before Thanksgiving. Because maybe you're expecting this Thanksgiving holiday to be the fix it all for you. You know, this is going to make our family so much better. It could be crazy for you if you don't have the right perspective. Let's be thankful, amen? Philippians 4, verse 11. Watch this verse. This is so strong. This is the Apostle Paul. And there's a verse in there you say all the time. And I think sometimes we use it for things that ain't even meant to be used for. But watch this. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. For I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. This is Paul now. Don't get mad at me. I'm just reading what he wrote. Okay? I'm just a delivery guy. For I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all this through Christ who gives me strength. Amen. Come on now. Do you see the context for that verse now? Boy, that makes it even more strong. Because now you can take that verse and bring it to everyday life. You know, in sports, they use that verse all the time. The little dude that strikes out all the time, Philippians 4:13, buddy, you can do it. Keep your eye on the ball. Keep your head in there, Philippians 4:13. Watch the ball, Philippians 4:13. You can do this, man. You can do all things through Christ. He hit the ball. It's a miracle. Yeah. You know what a miracle is? Being content with what we have. That's a miracle. I can remember when my kids were little, we'd go to my parents for Christmas. I had to have a truck. No cars needed because you can't bring everything home from grandparents' home at Christmas time because they pile you up with so much stuff. And literally, listen, true, this is true. There was stuff never even opened by next Christmas. Never opened. Regift. Passing it on. Think about this. We get so much and we want more. Like, my kids will ask stuff like this. They just get a bunch of stuff. And, like, if they get a gift card for Christmas or something, when can we go to the store to buy something? Love you, boy. Love y'all. But you're going to have to hold on to that for a while. Why? Because we always want more. Can we become content? And I believe if Paul says, I can do all this through Christ who gives me strength, perhaps our contentment is not found in the stuff. Watch this now. Perhaps our contentment is not found in that person, but our complete contentment is found in Christ. Come on, you grabbing this today? I know we're not firing this thing up and preaching hard, but this is good today. My contentment is found in Christ. So, here's the third thing. If I'm going to choose Thanksgiving, if I'm going to choose to be grateful, I'll turn every blessing I have into praise. Everything that God has given me, everything that God has blessed me with, I'm going to turn it back into praise. Because watch this. This is huge. Every blessing I don't turn back to praise turns to pride. I become prideful about it. Look what I did. Look at me, when it's really him. Psalm 63, verse 4, it says, I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands, and I will be fully satisfied. Listen to this. I will be fully satisfied as with the riches of foods, as with, not because of the riches of food, but he says, as with the riches of, I would be fully satisfied like I just ate really good, y'all. I'm just throwing in a little southern language for you. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. Can we take everything that God has given us and turn it around and give it back to him in praise? So watch this. I want you to pretend for a moment that you lost what you have. I know, that's scary. Imagine if you lost what you had, but then you get it back. Like, imagine if you lose your house, but then you get it back. Tell me what that day would be like when you got it back. Come on. Are we going out to eat or what? Are we going to celebrate? I mean, we had a housewarming party years ago. We're having a whole new housewarming party. Why? Because the perspective is there. I know what it's like to have a lot, and I know what it's like to have little, but I also know what it's like to be blessed. And because I'm blessed, I'm going to turn around, and I'm going to give praise to God. I'm going to give credit to God for every good thing that he has given me in my life so that I don't become prideful and think that I can do all of this on my own. Let's not deceive ourselves into believing that I can do this on my own. Let's be thankful and continue to give God the credit for it. And as long as we're giving God the credit for it, there is no longer this boundary. There's no longer this wall that keeps the blessings from flowing into our lives. Turn it around. I got a blessing. I'm turning it into praise. So maybe you're tired of your car. Well, let's just say, God, I'm thankful that you gave me one. Come on, some of you, this is real life for you. Maybe your house is always a wreck. Come on. This is relevant preaching right here. I'm just going to be thankful that God blessed us with kids. And some of you are like, wait a minute, we don't have kids. What's going on here? I live by myself. Okay, anyway. I'm always busy with these kids. Thank God they're healthy. Come on. My house is so small. At least we got some AC. Come on. I don't like my job. Thank God you can pay your bills. It's just a perspective adjustment. That's what worship does. That's what praise and thanksgiving does. It adjusts your perspective so you don't overlook what you got and think that all this other stuff is going to be the answer for the hole that might be in your heart. Come on. So let's finish with this verse, Psalm 103, verse 2. This is David writing this. He says, let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. Come on, that is so good. So let's recap. I know every good thing I have comes from God. Come on, can I get an amen? I will not let what I want rob me of what I have. I want it, but I'm not going to let it rob me of what I got. I'm not going to overlook what I got because of something that I want. And I'll turn every blessing I have into praise. I'll turn it around into praise. God bless me with it. Thank you, Lord. So that means this. When that kid that God blessed me with wants to stretch me a little bit, Lord, I thank you for this child. That's how that prayer starts. I just want to help you now. This is how the prayer should start. Lord, I thank you for this child. When that spouse, and you can fill in all those blanks, that prayer doesn't start out, kill him! I mean, that prayer starts out, Lord, I thank you for my spouse. That job, that boss, I thank you. Listen, we got to get our prayer and our praise right. Lord, I thank you for this person. Now, afterwards, that's where you can start saying what you need to say. But Lord, so being grateful, being thankful is a choice. It's making a choice with how you're going to look at your life, how you're going to look at your stuff, and what am I going to do with it. So watch this. Thanks is activated. Thankfulness is activated when it's given. I need you to hear that. It's activated when it's given, not when it's intended. I had the intention, but I didn't. No points for you for your intentions. If I intended to take Cynthia on a date and I don't take her, no credit for me for having the intentions, because I could just feel like I'm in the doghouse and say, well, I was going to take you on a date and get away with it. No. It's activated when it's given. Thanks is activated. Worship is activated when it's given. Gratitude is activated when it is given. But watch this. Giving is only good when it comes from a thankful heart. You ever had somebody trying to clean up some mess so they wanted to give you something, try to smooth it over? You didn't want the gift. Am I right? Don't give me this to fix that. Give me that, which is the heart. This message is so necessary because as we're going into Thanksgiving and into Christmas, this week our focus is on being thankful. And so chances are you'll sit around the table and they're going to nominate somebody to say the blessing. Can I say this? If you are nominated to say the blessing, do not preach a message in your blessing before the meal. Don't do that, okay? People are ready to eat. Now, I'm not saying pull the good Lord, good meat, good God, let us eat prayer, but I am saying get to the point. Bless the food, bless the people. Thank you. Amen. Get to the point, okay? Now y'all done made me forget what I was talking about, okay? So this is Thanksgiving week. This is where we adjust our thankfulness, because what's coming is Christmas is where we're giving. See, a lot of times we're giving out of the got to. And so we're running crazy. I want to help somebody today. We're running crazy trying to make sure every single person is on our list. We got them covered and we're giving them something. And this can mean so much more to you, and this can mean so much more to the person that you plan to give to if the heart is thankful. Because the gift isn't really what they wanted anyway. It was the thankful heart. I'm giving this to you because I'm thankful for you. See, they can feel the love. They can feel the thankfulness. And so this is why this is so important that we talk about this today, because maybe as we're heading into Thanksgiving, maybe this is a time in your life where everything isn't the greatest and you're wishing you had more and you're wishing you had better and you're trying to fix everything from back then and the other day and last year and all of that stuff. And perhaps you can overlook that maybe there has been some good things that's going on in your life, and maybe you just don't see it because you've been so focused on what you think you need to get. You're missing what God already gave. Let's adjust that this Thanksgiving. Amen? Come on. Let's really work on that. And going into this Thanksgiving this week and going up to that family member that might get on your last nerve. Oh, I'm thankful for you, man. They're going to be like, no, you're not. I'm doing it by faith, my brother. I'm doing it by faith. Speaking those things which aren't into existence. Make the choice to be thankful, to be grateful, not just one day, but every day. And let's overcome that negativity with thankfulness. Amen. Bow your heads this morning. Father, thank you. This message today knocked on our doors. and it messed with our hearts. Lord, I just pray that where each person is in here, Lord, I thank you that you find us exactly where we are. And I pray right now, Lord, that you would just make it apparent how good you are to us. And I pray, Lord, that our response to you will be thankfulness. Especially because we didn't deserve to be loved like this. We didn't deserve for our sins to be covered by Jesus. But you did it anyway because you love us. And Lord, because of that, we can definitely be thankful. Maybe you're sitting here today in this room and your heart isn't where it needs to be with the Lord. Maybe you don't know Jesus as your Savior. Maybe over time you've drifted away from the Lord. Maybe something negative happened in your life that has drawn you away from God. And maybe you even got to the point that you blamed God for this happening. Or maybe you've sat there and you recited this over and over. God, how could you let this happen to me? I want you to know, even though you feel that way, God is still good. And your feelings are valid, but perhaps the direction that you're pointing this is wrong. Because God does love you, and God does have good plans for our life. And maybe because of those things, you've drifted away from God. But as we're saying this message today, it's literally like the Lord is drawing you close to Him. It's like the Lord is saying, come back to me. And if you're hearing the sound of my voice today and you say, Pastor, I am away from God and I need to come back to Jesus today. I need to recommit my life to the Lord. I need to make that first time commitment to Jesus because I've never done this before. But I know this. I know that I need Jesus more than anything else in my life. I need His forgiveness for all of my sins. If that's you, I want you, with no one looking around, I want you to lift a hand real quick and you can put it back down and we're going to pray with you. Anyone else? Someone's already started. Anyone else today and say, that's me, Pastor. That's me. That's me. Okay. We're going to pray this prayer all together. We do this every week. And for those of you, you've done this a while back, a long time ago. Listen, this is still just as incredible today for these folks as it was for you the day when you prayed it. So let's make sure that our perspective isn't let's just get it over, but let's go through it just like they are and renew this day and see it as God is saving lives today. And so when we pray this prayer all together out loud, say, Dear Lord, thank you for your love for me. That even when I didn't deserve it, you sent Jesus to die on the cross and pay for my sins so that I could be forgiven and I can be free from all the guilt and all the shame. So Lord, today, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. And I thank you now that my sins are forgiven. And my past is being clean. And there's hope for my future because of Jesus. And I give you praise today. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Come on, let's give a hand of praise and thanksgiving to God for every person.